Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be speaking once again about Apple products. Now this time around, we'll be focusing mostly on the iPhone 12 mini. We'll also be speaking about the iPhone 12. And this is because the reviews of these two products are either complete or very, very close to completion. And we've been doing a lot of testing and real world usage of these phones, and we can tell you whether you should buy them or not. And also, what direction Apple could be heading in the future with its iPhones. So to talk about all of these things, we have our reviews editor Jamshed Awari here with us. Hi Jamshed, good to have you back.
Hey, thanks.
And I'm your host Pranay Parab. So I think the first and the most important thing to speak about with regards to any new iPhone is the pricing. So the iPhone 12 mini is available in three variants, 64GB, 128GB and 256GB. The pricing starts at, well, I would say an eye-watering 70,000 rupees for the base variant of the iPhone 12 mini. I would have been a lot happier if the base variant had 128GB of storage, because frankly, you can't expand the storage, and there's not that much of a price difference in between the two variants, yes, but still I think the base variant should have 128 across the board as it is with the 12 Pro series. How do you feel about that, Jamshed?
I mean, yeah, it's always nice to have physical, I mean, not physical, but at least accessible copies of everything that you think you own. But I'm saying it's not as insurmountable as it once used to be. It's not as much of an issue as, you know, say, buying an iPhone 5 with 16GB of base storage or something.
Or
like
iPhone
that.
5C with the 8GB of storage that was launched specifically for India or something.
Yeah, I wrote a pretty scathing opinion about that specific model.
Yeah, so it's not as dire as it was before. Yeah, that's something I agree with. But you made an interesting point about cloud storage. Like, I still am very upset with Apple for keeping that free tier limited to 5GB even today, because that is something you'll run out pretty much immediately if you click even maybe, what, 5 photos a day or something. So that's something that they really should be increasing at some point. I think 5GB is just way too less. 15 is a decent free tier. And the upgrade pricing, 50GB or 200GB, the Apple One plans that you mentioned, those I think are fairly well priced. I don't think like there's too much to complain about with those plans.
Yeah, Apple One is fairly decently priced in India, and even just standalone iCloud storage isn't too bad. But, you know, Apple will not give that many concessions without having its teeth pulled. Yeah, and I do think the ideal situation would be that if you have more than one Apple device, then you get to stack, you know, those 5GB allowances. Mm. Because it's only one per account. It's not per device as of now.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they don't do that, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's a very, very good idea.
Terribly surprised.
And like you, even I'm not surprised that they don't give you, you know, the option to stack those free storage options if you have multiple devices. I mean, especially if you're spending to buy a new iPhone from or an iPad from the current generation, you will be spending a significant amount of money. Like, I think iPad is at, what, 30,000 or so? iPhone is at 70,000? Yeah. Again, so giving 5GB storage per device really isn't going to cost Apple that much, considering how much people are paying for these products. So yeah, but anyway, that's you know, a gripe for maybe another time. iCloud is a different subject. We're here to talk about the iPhone 12 and the 12 mini. So I can maybe call these two the 12 series. Probably that would be a good enough distinction. The 12 Pro series is different, which we spoke about last week at length. So I was very excited to see that you are getting most of the features of the 12 Pro series, even on the 12 mini and the 12. Now, I'm talking about a few things, such as the OLED display. The camera setups also, to some extent, are similar. At least you get fewer cameras, yes. But the features that are there, such as night mode and I think Dolby Vision HDR video recording, things like that are also there on these devices. And in terms of like compromises, I don't think there's all that much. The build materials are maybe slightly different, if I'm not mistaken, and battery life, I guess, would be different, right?
Yeah. So what you get with the Mini and the 12 is a significant subset of the 12 Pro, especially the camera. So like the first two cameras are basically identical, and you don't get the telephoto camera and you don't get the LiDAR sensor. Now, the Pro Max is different. It has a completely different sensor for its primary cameras. Even the front cameras are basically the same. You get that Dolby Vision HDR recording, which is something that you might have thought would be, you know, a, a pro level feature. What you don't get is Apple's Pro RAW, which can be used by professionals. And video recording in some cases is constrained to 30 FPS as opposed to 60 FPS on the Pro. Of course, you don't get the telephoto zoom, but everything else is the same, including night mode, deep fusion. And you don't get night mode portrait because of the lack of the LiDAR sensor.
Mm. So in this, the important thing to highlight is that the iPhone 12 mini at 70,000 rupees will give you most of the features of the Pro, like you mentioned, the important ones such as Dolby Vision HDR video recording.
And the Pro starts at 1,20,000.
Exactly, so 50,000 rupees less. So if you look at it that way, the value aspect looks great. But still, the newest iPhone starting at 70,000 rupees, which is higher than the affordable version of an iPhone that was launched last year, which is the iPhone 11 with an LCD display at 68,300. That is...
So we all hoped that the 12 mini would be like a lower tier device, not a light device in terms of, not a light version of the iPhone 12 in terms of having its specifications and capabilities reduced. But we were hoping that it would be positioned lower. Instead, this one is pretty much the replacement for the 11, while the 12 comes in at a new price tier, which is higher, still sandwiched between below the Pro. But now there isn't that much of a difference, at least in dollar pricing, between the Pro and the 12. What's really interesting and unfortunate, at least for us, is the fact that Apple is not using the same multiplier to convert dollars to rupees. So you'll see that the price difference in the US isn't so much from the 12 mini to the 12 to the 12 Pro and the Pro Max. The steps are relatively gradual. But in India, between the 12 and the 12 Pro, there's an enormous jump. So you would wind up spending even more to get a 12 Pro, which if you look at it the other way around, it makes the 12 and the 12 mini seem like better value, even though they are naturally rather high priced.
Yeah, true that. So having said all of these things, how do you feel about the value proposition on a 12 mini?
I think that this will be the default option for a lot of people. I think in markets like the US, there's a lot of people who would buy this because of its size. But for us in India, a lot of people will buy it because of its price. Now it's 10,000 rupees less for each storage tier than the 12. And roughly identical features other than the smaller screen, the lower capacity battery, and resulting lower battery life. And just get a slightly smaller speaker, and that's basically it. In fact, the screen is so much higher quality than the previous generation iPhone 11 because you get an OLED panel at a very high resolution, which is, full HD plus, whereas the iPhone 11 and the XR before that were slightly lower than that level. And those used standard LCD panels.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'm very, very happy to have like OLED displays as standard across because then, you don't really have these confusions a year later as well, right? I mean, for example, recently, I think earlier this year, we had some deals on the iPhone XS, if I'm not mistaken, which was available at around 50,000 rupees. So a lot of people were thinking, okay, the XS at 50,000 versus the 11, which was going on sale at that time, somewhere around 60 or so. Which one to get. And the XS was the one with the OLED display, right? Even though the 11 is a newer generation device, the one with the OLED display launched at 1 lakh rupees at 50,000 or so was incredibly appealing. And it was also quite confusing to choose between those two because you do lose some things in terms of performance.
Yeah, I mean, iPhones do tend to hold their value for quite a long time. And that's because they last, they're built well, they get great software support. There's very little wrong with choosing an older model. And you'll see at even Apple is continuing to sell the 11 and the XR. And, as far back as the iPhone 7, they're still on sale over here. So there is going to be a huge market and a huge secondary market for older models. And I think that'll fill some of the price gaps. Since you talked about the sales, we've seen really good prices on the 11 and the 10R recently.
I mean, you know, really good is like maybe an understatement. I think the offers that were going around for the 11 especially were frankly amazing. I mean, they were the highlight deals in all of these sales. So yeah. That was, you know, good to see. I'm hoping that for the 12 mini and the 12 next year, we have similar deals so that people like me can maybe look at buying these devices. But at the current prices, I wouldn't consider them.
And I think it's inevitable that the 12 mini, at least this body and shape and size, will be the basis for a future iPhone SE model in the way that, you know, the previous ones have been modeled on the 5 series and the 6 series.
Yeah.
So,
It's actually interesting that you bring this up. So during the Diwali sales, the iPhone SE was the 2020 iPhone SE, which also you reviewed, was available at 26,000 on Flipkart. And, you know, that was excluding any card offers and exchange discounts and other things. I bought one for my dad at that price. I think it was the overall total was a little lower than that, the sale number. And the phone is fine. It's like working amazingly well. It has like a really good processor. So buying these phones a little later after launch usually makes sense because it's, if you think about it, it's a 2020 iPhone, right? And if you get that close to say a 20,000-25,000, like a OnePlus Nord level price, at that price, it's incredible value. So looking out for those deals is always a good idea.
And I mean, see, that said, there's always people who want the latest, and this is the 12 mini is the most relatively affordable of the latest generation. And if you do pick this, then, you know, it will last you for quite a few years. As a side note, I would suggest you get a screen protector, but other than that, it will last you for a couple of years. And it is pretty much of a leap, you know, it is one of the bigger changes generation to generation that we've seen for the past several years. So I think there is a market for it, more so for the mini than for the iPhone 12 because of its size. You know, there's something fresh about that. There's something that stands out. And there's also something that's going to tempt anyone who's in need of an upgrade and who's been holding out with one of those older iPhone 5 or 6 series devices because they don't want something larger and bulkier.
Yeah, or even, so you know, somebody who has
a very good time.
The iPhone 7. If somebody has that today, this will be perfect for them because the size is essentially the same. You just get like an all-screen display. This actually reminds me of your iPhone SE review where you had mentioned that, you know, if there was an all-screen display or something on this device, it would be much more appealing than what it is with its thick bezels and all that. So you've got your vision. How are you feeling after using this one?
Well, yes, but at twice the price. So that's not quite what I meant, I think. You know, even so, I think this is good. I think, as we've said, the price will decline a little bit over the next year. Early adopters, of course, will pay full retail price. But we're already seeing some bank offers, right? We're already seeing a few thousand rupees discount and cash back and things like that, plus exchange offers. So I think Apple is doing what it considers to be a reasonable amount of concession.
Yeah.
But that doesn't go very far in India, and we want some more.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even if you like, you know, let's assume that, you know, there's a hypothetical world in which Apple launches the iPhone SE 2020 at 30,000 rupees instead of 42,500 that they launched it at. Even then, there would be some people who'd be saying, no, it should be even less. So that thing, that, like, value proposition can, like, that discussion can go on and on. But all I'm saying is that, like, just like you, the price of the 12 mini is a little bit on the higher side for me to consider this phone right now. But let's assume that it's available at a price that I'm able to afford at any given point of time. Then would you say that the reduction in battery life would be a major hurdle?
I think that's going to be very subjective in terms of battery life. Like, with day-to-day use, and now that included a lot of photos, like maybe say 100 or more photos in a day, and a whole bunch of video clips using all the modes of the camera, some music streaming, like one full-length movie, something like that, and you will not have anything left over at the end of the day. You know, you'll find yourself moderating your behavior a little bit towards evening and night. So if you're okay with that, if you're the type who just, you know, plugs in your phone at bedtime and, you know, picks it up in the morning and heads out or in, as the case may be with our lives right now, then I think you could be okay. And keep in mind that battery life will decline over the years, and a battery replacement is likely to be somewhat expensive if you want to do one a year or two down the line. But it is possible, and I think it should be okay to live with. I would say, even though you get like a super powerful processor and excellent cameras and all of that, you might wind up not using them all that much, just because you have a little bit of anxiety about battery life if you're out and about.
Yeah, true that. So, I mean, what I'm gathering from this is that if you're absolutely concerned about having long battery life, if that is your number one priority, then there are other iPhones in the market for you. But if the compact form factor...
Yeah, you'd pay more for that.
And the form factor is
there has to be some compromise somewhere.
Yeah, the form factor would be the main draw for the Mini, right? In case people go for this. So, the smaller size would make a big difference for a lot of people. Like in your review video also, I was seeing the, you know, shots where you've put the phone in your pocket and when you're holding it in your hand, it just seems so much more compact and comfortable. And because of the flat edges this year, it's also nicer to hold.
Yeah. I mean, there's something retro about it, but at the same time, it feels kind of modern and fresh. There's something very endearing about using the 12 mini, and I've been using the 12 and the 12 mini side by side for about a week and a half now. So I can tell you that neither one is too awkward to use, neither one is unwieldy. I think the Pro and the Pro Max might get into that sort of territory, and we have covered that in our reviews. But the 12 mini is just very, very convenient. I mean, something as simple as just holding it up to talk, holding it up to your ear, it feels light. And then going back to another phone, you're like, oh yeah, you know, this actually hurts after a while. On the other hand, you might not truly enjoy this smaller screen if you're used to a larger phone already, if you're used to a much more spacious keyboard layout, if you work with large documents, if you want to read a digital newspaper, you know, with a full PDF print layout. Even if you're playing games or watching videos or something like that, the smaller screen does not feel as great as the larger one. But, you know, you have to choose where your point of diminishing returns is, really.
Yeah, true that. So at this moment in time, my primary device is an iPhone XS Max. And I also have an iPhone XS lying around just for shoots and stuff. So every time I switch to the other iPhone, the smaller one, it is such a big difference. Like it's so much more comfortable to hold. Like I'm thinking whenever I start going out post-vaccine or whatever, the XS Max is going to be very, very unwieldy comparatively to even the XS. I can only imagine how much more comfortable the 12 mini would be when you're out and about, relatively speaking. So from that perspective, yes, it is definitely very appealing. But like you said, again, the battery life is the one aspect that does bother me. With my iPhone 7, I was pretty happy with the battery life for like the first year or so. The second year, I think maybe maybe towards the end of the second year, it started giving me ridiculously low battery life. And at that time, I think due to that battery slowdown controversy, we had cheap battery replacements at 2,000 rupees or so.
That was great. I mean, that was just a no-brainer. If you didn't snap that up, like I had an older iPhone SE and I just got it replaced and got a completely new lease on life. And the thing runs iOS 14 now, and you know it's perfectly functional even several years down the line.
Yeah, exactly. So since I got that offer at that time, like it was so affordable to replace the battery, it was good, really good to have. But in a normal world, which is right now, I think the battery replacement costs something like 8,000 rupees. So that it may not be something that, you know, you'll just say, "Nay, I'll just take it today and it's fine. It doesn't matter to me." It's a significant expense. So
it is a significant expense, but given... I mean, if you're the type of person who just wants the latest and greatest phone and says, hey, you know, this one's not lasting that long anyway anymore. It's been 2 years or it's been 3 years. so might as well get a new one. Yeah, put that 8,000 rupees towards the purchase of a new phone, towards your next upgrade.
Yeah.
But if you are the type of person who likes getting the maximum value out of your stuff and might want to pass it on to somebody in your family, or might just want to, you know, stretch it out for as long as you can because you can, then that 8,000 might be a decent value.
Yeah, true that. Okay, so let's talk about the cameras now, since, you know, the form factor is obviously one draw towards the 12 mini, but like you said, the processor is the same, which means it also gets the same benefits, right, with the image signaling ISP technology.
Oh, yeah, everything about the cameras is exactly the same between the 12 and the 12 mini.
Yeah.
You get the same sensors, the same specifications. So yeah, you do get pretty much identical camera specifications between the 12 and the 12 mini. There's no difference in terms of capabilities and features between these two models. And in fact, there are quite a few useful updates compared to the previous generation. The most useful to me is the fact that you can use night mode on the ultra-wide rear camera as well as the front camera. And you get Apple's Deep Fusion processing, which basically takes multiple exposures at various different settings and then combines them in what it calls computational photography to essentially synthesize the ideal photo out of the various components of the data captured through those multiple exposures. And this all works seamlessly. It all works in the background. There are no separate modes or toggles for you to choose. You can tweak the exposure length in night mode if you want to. And you can, in fact, do that if you have your phone on a tripod. Now, I've done that, and I was able to capture some absolutely ridiculously good shots. Mm. So you can check out the review in our video, which is up on YouTube and various other services. And, of course, you can check the text review at gadgets360.com, in which there are plenty of camera samples. And you just click those, and you can see the entire original file as it was captured directly onto the phone. And just look at the level of detail. Just look at, especially in low light, some of those shots you would not necessarily even know they were taken at night. They might just look like they were taken in the daytime if they happen to be indoors with, like, you know, one flickering bulb in the corner at 3 a.m. That kind of a environment can still be conducive to a really, really good photo.
Yeah, and did you notice
the video as well? Yeah.
So the time taken for each shot, was it like unbearable or was it just acceptable?
No, it was about 3 seconds or so, like two to 3 seconds. And on rare occasions, you know, just a 1 second little boost. And that didn't really matter at all. In fact, there's a little animation on the screen. Mm. So you know to hold still, and it just doesn't seem like something extra that's happening after you take a shot. It's just part of the process.
Mm. So yeah, I mean, fair enough. I mean, that's nothing.
And
that
you see the results. Yeah. You do see the result in instantly, whereas on some other phones, you know, you'd go to the gallery and it would spin like for a second or two, and then you know, the calculated night mode shot will pop up and replace the dull dark one.
Mm. So this is actually very encouraging to hear, because, you know, a lot of people will be looking at the iPhone 12 mini for the size, but many people will be wondering, okay, apart from the battery life, is there any other compromise? Will it be slow? Will it take worse pictures? But I think from what I'm hearing, the answer seems to be no. It will perform basically the same as the iPhone 12.
So the only compromise that I could really think to add to that would be in terms of the speakers. So obviously the volume of the case itself is smaller, and the speaker itself is physically smaller. So, you know, the sound wasn't less loud. The volume level wasn't that much less. And the clarity was not impacted at all. But in terms of the immersiveness of the sound and the fullness and the richness of it, that is definitely less on the mini compared to the full-sized iPhone 12.
Mm. Yeah, so again, like, I think, while, you know, this point is good to know, it's, I don't know if it'll be a deal breaker for most people who are considering this iPhone.
I mean, I don't think it should be, because like, when are you really blasting music at full volume on your, you know, phone's built-in speaker anyway? It's nice to have, but it's not something that you'd miss terribly.
True that. So, I think what the information that I need about the iPhone 12 mini is something that, you know, I've gotten through this discussion. But I have one more question for you about this phone in particular. So, at what price would you say that the iPhone 12 mini is excellent value? Considering that, okay, 70,000 may be a bit too much for a lot of people.
I mean, I would have liked something closer to 50,000, to be honest. Like, maybe 55 or so, I think, would have been really, really head-turning. And like, you know, for 64 GB, let's say that 64 stays as it is. I think about 50 to 55,000 would have been the sweet spot.
So basically the current price of the iPhone 11.
Yeah, and basically that's where I would expect the 12 mini to be by the time that we get to next year's Diwali sales.
Yeah, definitely. Or maybe even before that, depending on which e-commerce platform is feeling excited.
I mean, I'm just basing that off current patterns, you know, what we've seen for the last maybe 2 or 3 years. I think the 12 mini will be the sort of product that will really, really move if and when it gets a discount. And I think Apple has shown a willingness to apply discounts at strategic times that bring pricing more in line with what we expected. Like, for example, you know, you talked about the SE at 42,500. And we said always that, you know, about 35,000 would be the ideal price for this. And sure enough, that's what it went for on sale for. Same with the 10R, same with the 11. And so I don't expect this to be any different.
So I think we've spoken a lot about the 12 mini. Now, maybe a few thoughts on the iPhone 12 itself would be nice to have. So for maybe like just to keep it a bit short, who should go for the 12 over the 12 mini? And what is the most obvious thing that you would, you know, gain by making that upgrade? Considering that, you know, most people would want, like you said, 64 GB may be enough for a lot of people, but a single tier storage upgrade is something that people would consider, like 264 to 128.
So like, would you get the 128 GB mini as opposed to the 64 GB full size? That's an interesting question that I think, you know, a lot will be very subjective for a lot of people. So we touched upon the fact that they both have the same SoC and they seem to have the same clock speeds and specifications. But what I haven't really spoken about yet is the fact that when you have everything shrunken into a small body like the mini, you're going to hit thermal constraints. And if you check the text review at gadgets360.com, see some examples of this, of the 12 mini versus the 12. So gaming isn't as immersive because of the smaller screen, but also if you intend to game for a really long time, or if you intend to use your phone for several years and want to stay at the cutting edge in terms of games, then you will find that the 12, the larger model, is better suited simply because its thermal headroom allows for better sustained performance. And what that means is that the 12 mini gets warm really quickly. So the SoC has to run at a slower speed. It has to regulate itself in order to stay within that thermal cutoff point. So the 12 has a little more breathing room. The 12 mini cuts itself off a little sooner. So that is one subtle point of distinction that you're not going to find in a spec sheet or in any sort of text comparison. It comes through only in the usage, which is what we've brought out in our reviews. Spec-based comparison, I mean, not text as in the text that we write. The other thing, of course, would be the fact that the larger screen might be easier for some people to use in terms of, say, typing, or in terms of just being able to magnify things a little bit. So depending on your mobility constraints or your eyesight constraints, if you have any, you might want to consider the larger model. Or also, if you think that the smaller one is, you know, as a matter of personal preference, if you think that the smaller one is somehow lesser, and if you just want a big screen, like you know, everywhere in the Android world, you see big screens. Like, so the Mini has a 5.4-inch screen. The full-size 12 has a 6.1-inch screen. And you'll see that everywhere in the Android world, maybe about 6.4, 6.5 is average. Mm. You could go up to 6.7, 6.9 even. And that hits, I think, the limit of what you would really consider portable for a phone. So yeah, if you are used to a large phone already, and if you don't want a smaller screen, then by all means, go for the 12. You know, it costs 10,000 rupees more. And that might be well worth it for a lot of people, because you're just going to get that much more life out of it.
Yeah. So the way I see it, the 12 mini is a no compromise device. I mean, maybe with a tiny little asterisk about the things you mentioned, there's some small things that go away, but not really a deal breaker in any way. So in that way,
not a deal breaker when it comes to everyday casual light use.
Yeah, you know? So my mom always, my mom always tells me that, you know, whenever she goes, whenever she wants to buy a smartphone, which is once every 2 to 3 years, all the phones are getting bigger and bigger each time. And she doesn't really like any of those. And she always wants a more compact device, such as the iPhone SE, both the old and the new ones. And this thing, I'm hoping that because the iPhone 12 mini is around, and hopefully it is a success in the market as well, because of this, hopefully other manufacturers will also consider these kinds of form factors. I believe we had a Samsung phone, the S10e, and I think they abandoned that after that. I don't think we had an S20e.
No, we didn't. I mean, honestly, anything that Apple does, a lot of other companies will look at. Apple is more likely to put its money where its mouth is in terms of taking a gamble than other companies, which tend to sort of see if somebody else has done something and if it's working well for them. So I wouldn't be terribly surprised to see more smaller phones. I do miss, for example, the Sony Xperia compact models. Even Google with its Pixel phones didn't go to quite the extremes that other manufacturers have. And I think that's also a factor between, you know, what works for Asian manufacturers in their primary markets and what works for American and European manufacturers. Now, obviously, that's a wild generalization, and there is going to be a lot of overlap and a lot of exceptions to that. But I'm just saying that there is a difference in perspective in terms of how these phones have come to be. And so once you see somebody else doing it, you might think, oh, okay, you know, that works as well.
Yeah. So, do you see Apple launching more mini smartphones in the coming years, or do you think this is going to be a one-off experiment?
I wouldn't be surprised if this continues. I wouldn't be surprised if this continues. I think that there will be some commitment to this form factor, even if, as I said, it gets demoted to the SE tier. You know, Apple has sort of conceded that it needs to make more affordable iPhone models, and the prices of these flagships are frankly ludicrous. So if the strategy of filling the gaps with older models doesn't work out, or if there are more gaps now because the range has just gone so far to the high price level, I do think that there is scope for more models to come out. And because Apple, you know, with one hand gives and with the other takes away, anytime you get something cheaper, I think that it will be smaller or in some other ways reduced or in some other ways designed so that the more expensive product sitting next to it on the shop shelf feels superior.
Yeah. I mean, even I have a similar idea about what could happen in the future. Obviously, Apple can change its mind at any point and prove us wrong. But based on what we're seeing right now, I wouldn't be very surprised if they continue this form factor. I don't really think, I would like to assume that Apple is not the kind of company who would just launch something and then forget about it completely. It happened a little bit maybe with the iPhone SE, the original version, when it came around. There was nothing after that for 4 years. And suddenly now we have two new smartphones which are both quite compact.
We've seen plenty of examples of Apple reversing course, yeah. Whether you want to look at the various iPod shuffle and nano form factors, whether you want to look at the iPhone 5C and its plastic body, which, by the way, I still think was the most comfortable iPhone ever designed.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of examples of Apple being capricious.
Yeah.
Just doing whatever it feels will work. But I don't know. I think this time Apple knows that it's the end of the line for the smaller phones that are older than the SE 2020, and it does want to give people an upgrade path. Now, going back to what we said in the very beginning, the iPhone 12 mini is sure to be successful, but I don't think we'll know for sure whether it's successful because of its size or because of its price. And that, I think, will be a factor for different people in different parts of the world as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll just have to wait and watch about those things. But as of now, I'm pretty happy to see Apple committing to that compact form factor. And I would like to see that continue, because we do need some more portable, more compact devices for casual use, regular, everyday iPhones, as we describe them. So that's what I would like to see. So I think we have covered pretty much everything we set out to at the beginning of this podcast. So that means, we can maybe look forward to more such stuff coming up in the future. I think there are some Apple products that we still haven't spoken about. So I think the HomePod Mini is something that we'll be speaking about in a future episode. And similarly, the Apple Watch Series 6 and the Apple Watch SE. Whenever the reviews of those two products are complete, we'll be speaking about those two.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, there's been no shortage of Apple launches. In the past couple of months, there's been new iPads, new speakers, new iPhones, new watches, all those new Macs with the M1. There's a lot of ground to cover. And obviously at Gadgets 360, we're very, very busy working on all of that.
Yeah, true that. And this time around, like, if you think about it, we got so many of these products launched in the first wave of launches across the world.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why we suddenly have like a huge bunch of products. Otherwise, in maybe like a few years ago, 3-4 years ago, the iPhone would launch in September in the US, and then we would not see it coming to India till like maybe end of November or something. And the reviews would not be ready before December. But this time around...
Yeah, if you look at the iPhone 4 or the iPhone 3GS, it was the better part of a year before they came here.
Yeah.
So things have definitely changed. Yeah. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how things go.
Yeah, hopefully this continues, and the price.
Yeah. And we're going to be very busy. We're going to bring you our usual, extraordinarily in-depth reviews of all this stuff.
Yeah, true that. So keep an eye out on gadgets360.com for all those things that Jamshed just mentioned. And also, I think we'll conclude this episode right here, but know that we'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram as well. We are at Gadgets360 on all these platforms. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. And I would highly encourage all of you to go and check out Jamshed's review of the iPhone 12 mini on the website, which is gadgets360.com as well. Finally, I have one more request. In case you're listening to this on any podcast app, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whichever other app there is, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, and if your app allows it, please review it as well. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening.